this evening. Turn with us to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. If you'd stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God tonight. Found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Good to see Brother Steve Harper, one of our missionary friends, and his wife tonight. So good to have them in our service. 1 Samuel 17. If you're there tonight, say amen. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Were gathered together at Shaqah, which belongs to Judah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between. There went a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, 9 foot 9 inches tall. Had a helmet of brass on his head, his arm with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, or about some 194 pounds. He had greaves of brass on his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. One bearing a shield went before him. He stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine? And you servants of Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me." Verse 39. David girded his sword upon his armor, Saul's, and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, "I cannot go with them." And David put them off of him. He took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. David ran, stood on the Philistine, took his sword and drew out the sheath thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you tonight. I want to pray and ask you to help us to preach this evening. Lord, realizing there is no preaching in me, Lord, if preaching would come upon me tonight, I pray that I'd be a blessing to your people. Help us. If it be one here lost, I pray that, God, you would move in their heart. You'd draw them by your mercy and your compassion. Thank you for the good service that we had today. Thank you for the good liberty I had this morning. But Lord, it's preaching time tonight, and I ask you to help me. I'm a needy preacher. Oh, Lord, would you help me tonight? I'll be careful and honor you and give you the praise and the glory for everything you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. The Bible said in 51, David ran, stood on the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath, slew him, cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I won't preach on this simple topic this evening, on you're never too tall to fall. You're never too tall to fall. Now, I want you to notice this giant, this Philistine of Gath. He had a great reputation. And I want to say that this Philistine, he fell in spite of his height. In verse 4, It gives the dimensions. He was 6 cubits and a span, or some 9 foot 9 inches tall. Boy, he was a swell of a man. He was a tall rascal. But I'm going to tell you, he fell in spite of his height. You see, it's not how tall you are. A lot of folks think they're way too tall to fall. So did he. But if he found out he wasn't too tall to fall, he fell in spite of his height. Verse 4, he fell in spite of his history. What are you talking about? Oh, he was a bad boy. Matter of fact, he is known as a champion out of the camp of the Philistine. Now, I want to remind you tonight, it don't matter what kind of history we've had. Whether it been good or bad, we're not too tall to fall. Now, he had a history that he was a champion. He had never lost a battle. But I'm going to tell you, I found this out. A man that ain't never been whooped, he just ain't never fought enough. Somebody say amen right there. There's always somebody going to clean your plow, friend. And so don't go to bragging about your height, and don't go to bragging about your history. There's somebody got your number out there tonight. And then he fell in spite not only of his height and history, but he fell in spite of his heritage. In verse 33, you'll notice Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." He come from a fighting family. Reminds me of some of y'all. What are you talking about? Well, he fell in spite of his heritage. He was raised up to do what he is doing. Time out. I don't care how long you've been in Sunday school, friend. I don't care how long me and you've been saved. Don't matter how long we've been doing it. We're not too tall to fall tonight. Boy, if y'all would help me preach, this would be a good sermon tonight. And so, he fell in spite of his heritage. Verse 41, he fell in spite of his haughtiness. The Bible said the Philistine came and drew near to David. The man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, or he laughed at him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and a fair countenance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "You come to me, I'll give the flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." You see, he had a haughtiness. I'm reminded something tonight about pride. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Then the writer picks up in chapter number 29 and verse 23, and he says this about haughtiness. He said, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Now, you're never too tall to fall. I think there's 3 main reasons in this text tonight of why this giant fell that we can all apply to our lives spiritually. First of all, he had a problem with his uncircumcised flesh. In verse 26, he was an uncircumcised Philistine. I've noticed about this flesh. This flesh always gives me a problem. Some of you, you may think that you've got this flesh under control, but you better watch this thing of flesh. It'll get out of bounds on you every time. And it don't take me long to realize that this old man in me that's supposed to be dead, he's still alive and well. Matter of fact, he's a-breathing pretty regular inside on me. And boy, he's in there kicking around way too often. I've talked to a lot of my preacher friends that are older than me. I've said, "Have you ever ceased to quit having problems with the flesh?" Now, all I've ever talked with said, "Brother Ken, you're going to have to ask somebody older than me." You talk to Brother Donald Hubbard tonight. I would say he is one of the elders of the church. But you ask him, does he have problems with his flesh? And if he's honest with you, and he will be, he'll shake his head and say, "Yes, sir, I've got problems with my flesh." And so here this uncircumcised Philistine, He had problems with the flesh. In Galatians 5 and verse number 15, I want us to be reminded about a few things that were never too tall to fall. In Galatians 5 and verse 15, you see Paul's writing, and he says in verse number 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are revealed, or manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revealings of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." In Galatians 6 and verse number 8, Paul again is writing to the church of Galatia. And he says in Galatians 6 and verse number 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Don't put yourself in a place where your flesh can get out of bounds. If drinking is your problem, stay away from the alcohol. If pornography is your problem, stay away from the dirty things of this old world. I'm going to tell you tonight, he said that if you would feed the Spirit and not the flesh, the Spirit would outweigh the flesh. But I'm afraid in our lifestyle, in this society, we've got to watch this flesh, because there's a lot of things that feed this flesh. Matter of fact, there's a lot of things tonight in our culture, and it is all about culture. If the preachers of days gone by could come back tonight, they would have a heart attack. I believe they'd die in the pulpits with what's going on in our society. But I'm going to tell you, cultures change. People come and people go. But God's Word is forever settled in heaven. He said He's the Lord and He changes not. And sin is still sin. And wickedness is still wickedness. And honey, this flesh is still flesh. And we're going to take it to the graveyard with us. Paul said, "The things I want to do, I can't. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it." Boy, this old man's something else, isn't he? And I'm going to tell you, he's very experienced at what he does. He's been at it a long time. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm 52 years old. I got saved in 1981. I think that makes about 30-something years I've been saved. Well, 52 years, I've been in flesh. This flesh has got a lot of experience. And I'm going to tell you, the one reason that he fell is because of his uncircumcised flesh. Number two, not only do we see that he fell because of his uncircumcised flesh, he is a Philistine, carnal. But verse 49, I believe he fell because of his unguarded mind. The Bible said, "David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." The mind is an amazing thing. I think a lot of times the reason that the devil defeats us is because we have an unguarded mind. Our mind wanders. You see, a lot of times our mind hits rewind of the things we've done way back yonder. You see, this last week we was in a place, in a very nice seafood restaurant. They had an adjoining place, and you could see it was a club and people going in and out, and you could see through the breezeway and hear their music and see their partying going on. You know what? This flesh didn't die, it raised up. You say, "Preacher, you're the pastor here." That's right, and that's why I'm being dead level honest with you tonight, friend. I think our unguarded mind is one of our worst enemies. You say, our mind's not saved. It hits rewind. It hits replay of the things that we've seen and that we've heard. Our unguarded mind, Paul warns it in Ephesians chapter number 2 this evening. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past, look, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh," and here's the word, "and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Ephesians 4, verse number 17. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind," in the vanity of their thinking, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye've not so learned Christ, if so be that ye've heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit," here it is, "of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." He says this, "Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." The Bible says this, that ye put on the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness. He talks about that. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind in verse 23. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you watch way too many TV shows, your mind's going places where your mind don't need to go. You need to reel your mind in. First of all, you need to train your mind. You need to put your mind in things of God. Think not on things in this world, but be thinking on the world to come. Boy, this Philistine fell because of his unguarded mind. You know, the Bible talks a little more about that. He tells us about that in the armor chapter of Ephesians 6. Turn over there. You'll notice this. He says in verse 17, "Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now I ask you this. Why didn't the Philistine have on his helmet? Most of those soldiers, the helmets come down to the nose bridge, and it protected them. I tell you why he didn't have his head and his mind guarded, because he didn't see David as a threat. He didn't think it caused him no problem. You know what your problem is going to be as a Christian? What your biggest problems were when you were a lost person. If you loved drinking, I'll guarantee you it will still appeal to you. If you loved smoking weed and that feeling appeals, it will still appeal to you. If you looked at a bunch of pornography before you got saved, it will still appeal to you. Watch where your mind goes. And let me tell you something tonight, to be an honest pastor to you. I'm not going to walk in here with my head stuck up in the sand and think ain't nobody got no issues with mine. Our mind is a battlefield. The devil puts wickedness in our mind. He puts bad thoughts, corrupt communications and manners in our mind. He lies to us and says, this one's against you and that one hates you and this one don't like you. And the devil's a liar. I'll be glad, honey, when he's thrown in the lake of fire and there'll be no more devil to mess with my mind. Glory to God. I'll be glad when I go to heaven, have a glorified body, a mind that's perfect, that I never have a wicked thought. You're never too tall to fall. You ever notice this? Little trees, when they fall, don't make no sound. But when a big tree falls, it makes a big sound. You know, that'd be just like the devil to try tonight to put something in our path to make us fall. I guarantee you, as Brother Randy taught this morning, he's not our friend. He's our enemy. We better learn something from this passage tonight. Philippians 2. Keep turning to the right in your Bible. Philippians 2, verse number 2. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, have the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 5, let. In other words, it's an option. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Selfless mind, a sacrificed mind. A mind full of service. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we'd let this mind of Christ be in our mind. When we came in here, we wouldn't be wondering if it's 12 o'clock and the preacher's preaching too long. We wouldn't worry about it being Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Oh no, I got to go to church. It ought to be, oh yeah, praise God, I get to go to church. I'm not in hell with my back broke. The unguarded mind, 1 Peter 1, verse number 13. A man came to me one time and asked me this question. He said, preacher, alcohol still appeals to me and I know I'm saved. He said, I want to know, is that common? You better know it's common. Whatever appealed to you, I know I said it once, this is twice. Whatever appealed to you before you got saved will appeal to you again somewhere down the line. The devil knows it's your weakness. Stay away from it. He says in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Now, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what this means, in their day, in their culture, they wore loose-flowing garments. You remember Paul talked about running a race. You've got to gird up. In other words, tie these things up that you may run the race. Well, here, Peter gives us a touch, and he says, wherefore, gird or pull up the loins of your mind. Don't have a loose mind. When your mind goes someplace, you ought to automatically say, mind, you don't need to be there. We need to go here. You ever had anybody done you wrong and you'd really just love to pop their jaws? You'd love to loosen a few teeth. Amen? I'm talking about somebody's had the mouth on you for years and because you've done right, they made you out to be the bad guy. I'm talking about somebody that stole from you. Somebody's done you wrong. When your mind goes there, you need to reel your mind in. You need to gird up your mind. Don't let your mind go there. Think on these things. Love, peace, joy. Don't let your mind go over there. You can't run a race in a house coat. You'll get tripped up. Now I'm going to tell you something. I've gained some weight lately. And I tell you how I've gained it. It's not what I eat at meals. It's what I eat when I lay down at night. Cadbury cup. Don't look at me like that. Cadbury come out with some candy-coated Cadbury eggs. They're about the size of a peanut M&M. And I'm talking about while Duck Dynasty's on, eat a pound bag. And then this is the real issue. Target run them 97 cents a bag. My wife went and got a shopping cart. Why'd you say that? Well, that made me gain weight. Don't you realize my appetite will always want to go back to that? I wouldn't give you a dime for 4 dozen of them little yellow chicks they sell at Easter. I wouldn't give you a quarter for a shopping cart of that marshmallow bunny. Let me tell you, neighbor, them Cadbury eggs and me, we got something in common. And now what's got me this way is always going to be a temptation to me. And don't you think just because you got saved that the Holy Ghost has erased all them desires out of you, because there's too much in this Bible. And I know as a man of God, there's too much in me. You can't tell me I ain't saved. You can't tell me I ain't called to preach. If there's two things I know that. And I know Cadbury eggs is way up here. God, it's just sickening, brother. That's just awful. Brother Mike, it's terrible. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you, Brother Lee, if you could just eat 3 of them and get on the covers and leave it alone? I find myself on the nightstand doing this. I know none of y'all got none of them issues, but I do. I got them. I know that's full of humor tonight, but I guarantee you, watch, you ask any seasoned Christian in this house, Brother Steve, you've been saved a long time. Am I preaching right tonight? Brother Donald, am I preaching right tonight? Brother Dwayne, am I preaching right? Brother Jake, am I preaching right? Brother Mike, Brother David, Brother Lee, am I preaching right? Brother Jerry, am I preaching right? The things that bothered me back over yonder bother me now. I believe he fell because of his unguarded mind. You better watch where your mind goes. Your mind can act crazy on you. Crazy. Paul said, gird up. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that's to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Listen, it does matter what we watch. I draw up with my grandchildren with what is out there as an option tonight. They'll face things in 10 years in their high school that I never even knew about 30 years ago. If this next 30 comes the way the last 30 has, that's going to be something else if I live to be 80-year-old. Preacher, why did thou, uncircumcised flesh, unguarded mind? And did you notice I read it tonight? Did anybody catch what happened? This is an amazing thing to me. Turn to 1 Samuel. I want you to look, see it for yourself. Be sure I'm on target. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 50 and 51. I think I'm on right track. First Samuel 17, 50. If you there, say amen. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. Smote the Philistine and slew him. And watch this now. The Bible don't lie. There was no sword in the hand of David. Look what he does. I believe that you're never too tall to fall. When there's uncircumcised flesh, when there's unguarded mind, and when there's an unused sword, look what happens. Verse 51, David ran, stood on the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him. What happened? He didn't think he needed it. David was a ruddy looking little fella, and the giant still had his sword in his scabbard. Oh, we could preach a good sermon if you'd help me tonight. Isn't that amazing? And David ran, stood on the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him with his own sword, cut his head off. How you know that? Well, the Bible says it, and then it backs it up, because I preach a message over here where he went into town, got the high priest, and there was a Goliath sword wrapped up in an ephod. And he said, "Give me that, because there's none like this." What are you saying, Pastor? I read it this morning. Did you catch it? Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what he done? Just like what many times, man, you do, we wake up. We got our sword laying either in the back seat of the car, up in the windshield of the truck. We never pull it out of its scabbard. And boy, isn't that just something like him saying? He said, "Oh, Dad, I don't need that. I can do this." Last I read, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Boy, he got prideful. He'd won some battles, didn't he, Liberty? Liberty, we've won some battles, hadn't we? Lost a few. Won the majority. Got pretty good size, hadn't we? Running what? Over 50 missionaries? People being saved? Joining the church? Place packed out on Sunday morning? Devil love your head to get big. Sir, you've been promoted down where you were. You forgot about how you got there. You remember when you didn't even have a job and God's trusted you with this? You think now you can do it by yourself? You done went to school and you've done learned everything it is to learn now. But you may be fixing to learn one of the hardest lessons in life. Without Him, you can do nothing. God, help my flesh. Help my mind. Help me to use my sword that You've given me. Oh God, I need You. I need Your presence. Oh God, don't let me fall now. Oh God, don't let me fall now. God, take me home before I'd fall now. There are too many people counting on me now. I guarantee you, you that's doing something for God, there's an X on your back. You got an X on you. And sure, you come tonight. I've tried to preach this out of the recesses of my heart this evening. But I guarantee you, I don't care how tall you are. You're never too tall to fall. I can tell you a countless number that I've seen that said, "Lord, we don't need You no more." They're shipwrecked tonight. You know why? Their flesh, their mind, their unused sword. I love it when Brother Adam or Brother Mike or Brother Randy open this book up, go to teaching out of it on Sunday morning, and that sword runs in my heart. Shows me things I need to redirect in my life. Where would we be if we didn't have the preaching of the Word of God tonight? My sister plays. I don't know about you, but my mind runs wild sometimes. Runs wild in ways that it should never go. I got a call from a man on the way back here, coming up I-20, Thursday. You all would know him if I called his name. There was a family in this ministry had sent him something. I don't even know what they sent. He called me. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "me and wife had really got low. We got behind on some things." He said, "You ain't going to believe what happened." And this is what he said. He said, "Brother Ken, if I just realized that there's nothing to worry about, that God's going to see about me," he said, "I sure could enjoy this life a lot better." I said, "Boy, you just said a mouthful. Listen to me, Mom, Dad. He ain't brought you this far to leave you now. No, no, no. He's seeing about you. But we got responsibility. We better watch his flesh. Would y'all do me a favor? Would you please do me a favor? If you see me go to getting too tall and my pride, would somebody love me enough to say, 'Preacher, I think you've done let pride slip in'? If I go to getting too worldly, would you think enough of me to be honest with me and say, 'Preacher, you're getting too worldly'?" All I know to do is to preach to you. You know, it scares me. Brother Randy taught this morning what's preached tonight. The devil's got his sights on you. Be careful. Be careful, Ken Bowman. This church impacts a lot of lives. Be careful. We better stay close. We better stay committed. Hey, young man, you better be careful tonight. Young lady, you better be careful. This thing ain't a game. It's real. Help us to do right. You're never too tall to fall. You mind God tonight?